Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you indeed that it is a light to our hearts. And we pray you'll open our hearts now to receive your word to us this morning, that we might see that little bit more clearly, the true meaning of Jesus' words. And Lord, not only just see it with our eyes, but with our hearts and with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was in the car the other day, and a little voice from the back of the car shouts, "Look, Gran, look, the lights," as we were driving up the road one late afternoon, because many of the houses have got lights outside. And it's lovely, isn't it, when you've got a tiny one with you, because they see things and are so excited. But even for us, as we get older, when we see Christmas lights or other lights, it draws our attention to it, doesn't it? Like a lighthouse. And it's the same with the sun, our source of physical life. We go on holiday to places where the sun shines brightly, and we can see the sun, we can sit in it, we can feel the warmth. Some of us here this morning have just come back from sunny climes, haven't we, Dave? And it's good to go to these places. So Jesus talks about himself as light because it's something that we all understand. Indeed, light has always been associated with God in Jewish thought. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light." Isaiah 60 says, "The Lord will be your everlasting light." In Job, that we know a lot better than we did, "By his light," Job says, "I walked through the darkness." In Micah, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." The rabbis declared too that the name of the Messiah was light. Now, if we see in verse 20 in chapter 8, we didn't actually read this. It says, "He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple." He was teaching in the temple courts, where every evening giant menorahs, candelabras if you like, were lit. And they flooded the whole of the temple court so that people could see in the darkness. And they symbolized the pillar of fire that led the people of Israel through the desert. And they were there as a reminder of God's salvation of his people from out of Egypt. It reminded them of God's presence with them, walking through the wilderness, of his protection over them, and of his guidance leading them the way forward. And so it's in this context that Jesus stands there in the temple courts and he says, "I am the light of the world." It was a claim to be the Messiah, a claim to be God. And those who were there would fully understand what Jesus was saying, loud and clear. But as it says in verse 20, Jesus' time hadn't come, so they didn't do anything about it. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying he is the light of the world. Not just a light for the Jews, but a light for all people. Which is good news for me as a Gentile, and you too if you're a Gentile. And just as the sun is needed for all people throughout the world, so Jesus is needed for all people of the world too. Everyone needs Jesus. He is our spiritual light and life. In fact, Jesus says, "I have the light of life." And light and life are two major themes running through John's Gospel. In John 1:4 that we had read to us, it says, "What has come into being in him," Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of all people." So clearly John is setting out the fact that in Jesus Christ is life. And this life gives light to all humankind. It is Jesus as the life who gives light, as he explains in verse 12, back on page 104. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But this light of Jesus is not simply a light to be looked at. It is that we must believe in him, walk in his light, not only with our eyes, but with our hearts. We could compare it perhaps to someone stuck in a cave or a tunnel. We had that incident earlier in the year, didn't we, when those boys in Thailand were stuck in a cave in pitch black. And so if you imagine somebody stuck in a cave or a tunnel and they don't know how to get out because it's pitch black, and someone comes to the rescue and offers them a torch through the hole so that they can see their way out. But the person in the cave won't accept the torch or refuses to use it. What will be the result? The result is that they remain in darkness, unable to find the way out. And there are many like that who know that Jesus is the light, he is the way, the truth, and the life. But they don't want that light in their lives. How sad is that? But Jesus is the light and the life. And when we invite him into our lives, he brings light and gives us life. Not only now, but also in the future. Excuse me. It's sad that so many people do not know where they're going in life. Not only after this life, but in this life now, they've no idea of what's happening or where they're going. And they don't see the point of living. But Jesus says, I can give you light, a light that will illuminate the way ahead, a light that will energize and fulfill you, a light that will enhance the beauty of life around you. To be able to see things even around us, the beauty of them that God enables us to see. And when Jesus is living in our hearts and we're walking in his light, there's no room for darkness. Because what is light? What is true light? Light is the absence of darkness. You never walk in darkness if you have the light of Jesus Christ. So how do we conquer sin and darkness? We do that then by abiding in the light, living close to Jesus, talking to him, sharing, absorbing his word, quoting scripture. And when we do this, sin is conquered. Darkness is overcome by the light. The darkness can never overcome the light. Light overcomes the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So if we are battling with sin of one kind or another, what do? We let the light of Jesus in. And when we are so close to Jesus that his light is there, we will overcome sin and darkness. Jesus, it tells us in the New Testament, always gives us a way out of temptation, always gives us a way of getting over terrible sins and things that we would be ashamed of if only people knew. But the way is by allowing the light of Jesus to come into every area of our lives. The Jews who opposed Jesus tried to say he was bearing witness to himself. And they, the Jews always said they needed two witnesses. You could actually be your own witness, which Jesus was, and he called upon God his Father to be that other witness. But actually, light is self-evidencing. Light is there, you can't deny it. And that's what Jesus was doing. The light of his life, what he was doing, what he was preaching, the miracles and so on, they were all self-evidencing that Jesus was indeed the light of the world. And that should be true for us too. If we are walking in the light of Jesus Christ, people will see in our lives the fruit of that. And many times in the Old Testament it tells us that by our fruits we will be known. Jesus himself said that. Do people know who you are, that you are a light because of what you are and what you do and what you say? As God's people, we should be lights to those around us, causing them to take another look at Jesus. Just as when we were driving down the road and William shouts, "Look, Gran, look at the lights." That's what we want. We want people to look at us and say, "There's something different about you." The light of Jesus needs to shine within us so that other people are drawn to him. When John was in the hospital, well, a few months ago now, but he said there was this guy. He was an African, actually. And he said, "I just knew before I spoke to him that he was a Christian." He said his face just shone. There was something about him. And indeed, he is. But I wonder if people would say that about us. That when people look at us, they know that there's something different, that we belong to Jesus. It's a challenge, isn't it, to be that person that God wants us to be. So that our life and our lifestyle is such that we can offer the light of Jesus to others. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is darkness. Which is why Jesus calls hell the outer darkness. He doesn't mince his words. But Jesus offers light and life to each one of us. And at this time of year, Andy mentioned about the blue Christmas. The light of Jesus is that soft glow to give comfort and to give strength. But it's a light for our paths so that when we make choices, we make God's choices in our lives. It's also that light which is a beam, like a laser light, to shine upon the dark places in our lives so that we might conquer sin. But it's a light to the reveals to us our loving and heavenly Father and his character to us. And as we read his word, it's that light that makes some verses jump off the page to us and say, "This is for you." So as we see many lights, like on the tree that we've got here over Christmas, let's continually remember that Jesus is the light of the world. But we too must shine as his lights to banish darkness and to bring light and life to others. Amen.